Blog Talk Radio.
I want winners.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again. It's the Master Plan. I am your host, a.k.a. They call me JT. Some call me the ATM. But you can call me the Master. It's December 30th, 2012. The last Sunday of 2012. The last Sunday of the regular season. The last Sunday of fantasy football. Whole different strategy from week 16 of fantasy football to week 17 of fantasy football. And we're going to go through them scenarios. Hopefully, if you're playing in a league that has a championship in week 17 and you are going for that championship, be careful what you do. Things are not totally different, but the landscape is different, like I said, in week 17. And hopefully you realize that, and you've been listening to me over the prior weeks leading up to this last week's championship, and like I said, in some leagues, this week's championship. Hopefully, you can bring home the money at the end of this year and bring in the new year as a newly crowned fantasy football champion. No one remembers who's second. They only remember, for the most part, who won. I hopefully can get you to that number one position and help get you crowned in your league as a new 2012 fantasy football championship. No one likes to lose. Someone has to lose. Hopefully, if you're listening to me, you'll be on the winning side, not the losing side. Because just like I opened up, I want winners. And the opposite of winning is losing, and that's not a good thing. All right, people. 2012 has been a heck of a year in all phases, in all directions. Politics, sports, entertainment business, the media. There's been a lot of change, and it's going to be a lot of change in 2013. One thing's not going to change. I'll be here on Sundays, every Sunday, whether I'm talking about fantasy football, whether I'm talking about fantasy basketball, baseball, which I'll be doing, excuse me, I'll be sprinkling in some fantasy baseball toward the end of this season, quite naturally. Right now, the playoffs are going to begin next week. This is the last season, last week of the regular season, week 17. Some teams are set. Some scenarios are not set. Other teams are scrambling. Week 17, especially divisional games, which the NFL set up, are being played. Let's go through some scenarios, and then I'll get into fantasy football. Because I want to set up the scenarios first and then go through fantasy football and see where they pertain to the championship in week 17 of fantasy football and who you should play and who you should sit. Big difference, like I said, between week 16 and week 17. And I want to make sure that you got your act together and And do it the right way. So let's do this. Let's do this. In the NFC, you know Atlanta Falcons have clinched the number one position and home field advantage. Green Bay has clinched the North Division and has clinched a spot quite naturally in the playoffs. But in order for them to clinch a first round bye, Green Bay has to win, or Green Bay and San Francisco lose or tie. Let me put it this way. First scenario, Green Bay has to win. This is ordered for Green Bay to get a first round bye. This makes a difference in what you do in fantasy football. That's why I'm running these things down. Green Bay clinches a first round bye, number one, if they win. Number two, if Green Bay ties, coupled with a San Francisco loss or a tie. And number three, if San Francisco loses and Seattle loses or ties. I know this sounds complicated, but the bottom line is Green Bay is going to be playing hard against Minnesota to knock Minnesota out for one, okay? Second scenario, San Francisco clinches the NFC West because they're still playing hard in San Francisco because Seattle is hot on their tracks. They have to win or tie. Seattle loses or ties. San Francisco clinches a first-round bye. If San Francisco wins and Green Bay loses or ties, or San Francisco's ties and Green Bay loses. So two of those teams are playing hard. This is another team that's playing hard. Seattle Seahawks versus the St. Louis Rams. Seattle clinches the NFC West division. If Seattle wins and San Francisco loses, they clinch a first-round bye if Seattle wins and San Francisco and Green Bay lose. Here's the Sunday night game, the game a lot of people are going to be looking at. It's the only game on, the last game of the regular season, talking about the Washington Redskins versus the Dallas Cowboys, and I'm real anxious to see this. Washington, quite naturally, will clinch the NFC East division if Washington wins or ties. They'll clinch a playoff berth if Chicago and Minnesota lose. Dallas, in turn, has to win the division, plain and simple, to be in. They can't get into a wild card. There's no other scenario. Dallas wins and they're in. New York Giants versus the Philadelphia Eagles. New York Giants to clinch a playoff berth. They can't win the division, just to get into the playoffs. The Giants have to win, and the Dallas Cowboys have to lose or tie. And Chicago has to lose, and Minnesota has to lose. So all three of those scenarios have to happen in order for all four of those scenarios. First, Giants have to take care of their business. They have to win. And Dallas, Chicago, and Minnesota all have to lose, or Dallas ties. But Minnesota and Chicago have to lose. So trust me when I say this. This is going to be a wild weekend, and a lot of teams are going to be playing hard. In Minnesota, they're playing the Packers. Minnesota clinches a playoff berth if they win. They can also clinch a playoff berth if they tie, and Chicago loses or ties. And they can also clinch a playoff berth. If Dallas loses or ties, the Giants lose or ties, and Chicago loses. Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. Chicago clinches a playoff berth with a Chicago win and a Minnesota loss or tie. Or Chicago tie and a Minnesota loss. So Minnesota, one way or the other, has to lose in order for Chicago, and Chicago has to win or tie. Bottom line, let's move on to the AFC where the Patriots have clinched the East, the Broncos have clinched the West, the Texans have clinched the South, the Ravens have clinched the North, and the two wild card teams are Indianapolis and Cincinnati. Now, my Houston Texans, now they should have taken care of business in Minnesota. That's why Minnesota has life. But this is a scenario. They clinch a first-round bye if they win or tie. Or New England loses or ties. And Denver loses. Houston clinches home field advantage if they win. They have to win. Or Houston ties, Denver loses or ties. Or New England loses or ties, and Denver loses. So the bottom line for the Houston Texans, win, you have a first-round bye. Don't worry about anything else. You don't have to worry about whether Denver or New England loses or ties. Win, you get a first-round bye. Denver Broncos versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Denver clinches the first-round bye. If Denver wins or ties, New England loses or ties. Denver clinches home field advantage if Denver wins and Houston loses or ties, or Denver ties and Houston loses. We, I mean Houston, want a first-round bye. That means, Houston, you going into Indianapolis, which you don't have a good record, take care of business. Take care of business. You have to. The time is now. This is your first play. Excuse me. This is your first playoff game. Take care of business. Let's do this. Let's go to New England versus the Miami Dolphins, who are play the New England Patriots very hard. New England clinches a first round bye with a New England win and a Denver loss. Or a New England win and a Houston loss. New England clinches home field advantage with a New England win and a Denver and Houston loss. No one wants to go up to Foxborough, okay? So Denver and Houston take care of business, and New England will be on the road if it comes to that, visiting you. That's the playoff scenario. There's a lot more going on in the NFC than the AFC, we'll go down these games, hopefully I can give you some knowledge, and it helps you win in week 17, because this is a wicked week to be dealing with fantasy football, let me tell you. Wicked week. Let's drop off. I shouldn't say drop off. Let's start off with the number one game. Not number one of the week, but the first game of the week. I'll put it that way. Tampa Bay Buccaneers visiting the Atlanta Falcons. I'll go this route. I don't like Josh Freeman in this game. Don't like him in this game. I mean, you may have Matt Ryan, which I don't like Matt Ryan, and definitely don't like Matt Ryan in this game. But I think Josh Freeman is going to get about a one touchdown in this game, about 220, 250 yards, somewhere around there, with a pick. Main focus in this game is the man with the plan for the most part. That's Doug Martin. I would definitely play Doug Martin in this game. Don't hesitate. Even though the Bucks have nothing to play for or pride, this is a division rival, and they would like nothing better than to knock off the Atlanta Falcons in this game, even though it may be a meaningless game to the Atlanta Falcons. Because Atlanta can't go up or down and have secured a first round bye and have no problems. They just want to get out this game healthy. So you play Doug Martin. You play Vincent Jackson because I think he'll be effective in this game with Josh Freeman thrown to him. Mike Williams is can be in the flex position here. I don't think he's going to be real effective. I think the main focus will be Vincent Jackson and running the ball with Doug Martin. On the other side, Matt Ryan, Michael Turner, and these all three of these guys, Gonzalez, Jones, and White, may not play that much. Be careful here. Be very careful here. None of these guys have anything to play for. Like I said, other than pride, they have bigger aspirations, as in getting to the playoffs healthy and hopefully making a run toward the Super Bowl. They can't do that if one of these guys sustain an injury that's going to keep them out of any playoff games. So, like I said, I know they're studs, but you're taking a hell of a chance on playing these guys and thinking you're going to get big numbers, because I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's going to happen. Harry Douglas is more than likely to play more than these other guys. Jacquizz Rodgers is more than likely going to play more than these other guys. So be careful who you play here. And I got a caller. I know who he is. I'm surprised that he jumped on the line, because his wife is going to be mad at him because he's supposed to be going to church. Welcome, Mr. Gardner. How are you?
I'm doing fine, you jerk. What? I read the Facebook, baby, Facebook.
What's that? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, you're getting soft.
Exactly what that means.
You are getting soft, man. I don't know what's going on with you. You move over to the West Coast, and I don't know, man. I'm wondering
whatever
about you now.
Whatever, dude. Whatever. I woke up and I read that. You gonna agree with Keith? All right.
I don't know who he is, but he made a good point. So.
One of my coworkers from Europe.
Okay.
But it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. I see how evil you are. Anyway, I continue with the show.
What's happening, my man? How you feel?
I feel wonderful.
Yeah. Two days before the new year, you're on pins and needles. Is there any kind of panic going to set in today that I should know about before it does?
Oh, dude, for real? For real?
For real. I'm wondering.
You're on a roll today.
I mean, because, you know, I don't want anything crazy going on this Sunday, because wait a minute, Vic. Just like last week, this week projections, and I really don't pay attention to them, but I know you do. Project that they're going to be very close. Okay, extremely close. In fact, I think you're on the negative side of close. So,
that's because I took out Greg Olson and put in Brent Celek, but that was only panic. I don't know. I'm listening to the shows and listening to you real quick to see if I'm going to keep Celek in or if I'm going to go back to Olson. I just dropped Gronk, but I mean, it really won't matter unless he has a huge game in his limited time. So that's the one thing I was worried about. They said he was going to have limited time. If they were saying he was just going to play, then, you know, I would have kept Gronk and played him. But the limited time worries me. So that was my panic.
Well, it just so just by chance, I was talking about the first game I was talking about was the Buccaneers against the Falcons. And I'm saying that all the studs that are on the Falcons, you're playing with fire if you play them, because there's no guarantee that they're going to play for the whole game. And Matt Ryan, Tony Gonzalez, Julio Jones, and Roddy White, look out. Don't look like they're going to – Michael Turner, I don't think they're going to play all game. I'd be very surprised. I think Jacquizz Rodgers is going to see extended time. Harry Douglas is going to see some extended time. Those other guys, I think they're going to play maybe a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half or something like that. Maybe up to halftime, and then they're out of there. I can't see them playing a whole game and taking a chance, especially when they want to make a run at the playoffs and the Super Bowl. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we were discussing yesterday, because I had Matt Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan and AP and Jamaal Charles have pretty much, you know, made my team, because I have the two AFC and NFC leading rushers on my squad.
Mm-hmm.
I have the second or third best passer in NFL on my team, and two of those three guys are playing a full game today. So I can rely on those two a little bit to help me out, since Matt's going to be down.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Vick, you know, I think he'll do a decent job. And we talked about the issue with Russell Wilson. He doesn't play well against St. Louis, or he didn't play well against St. Louis the last time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I wasn't going to take a chance there. But the tight end position, I mean, believe it or not, this year the tight end position for me has been stellar, because I had Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
I could rely on him for like maybe 15 or 20-something points a game.
Mm-hmm.
With the subs with Olsen, and I had Bennett, and I think Dallas Clark, I was getting like maybe 3 or 4 points, and those were big differences in the bluff, because I was averaging like 240 a week. And then when Gronk got hurt, it went down to like 215. You know, it was close to the point where guys could be competitive against me.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Well, you just be happy. I had 2 down weeks the last 2 weeks of the regular season. Because I've been scoring pretty high. I would have beat you this past week. So, I'm just not pissed off, but a little irritated that I had 2 down weeks that prevented me from getting the playoffs. Because I did tell you, don't let me get in the playoffs. And if I had gotten the playoffs, I would have wreaked havoc on a few teams, including you. So that's okay, but it is what it is. It coulda, woulda, shoulda. Can't complain about that. Let's move to this. I'm gonna go out of sequence here because I know you probably don't have a lot of time, and I know you like to listen to my wisdom. So
whatever. I'll be here for the whole show, old folks.
Okay. Well, we'll do this. I move to the Eagles and the Giants, particularly because of two players that you have on your team or going to start or whatever, Michael Vick and Brent Celek. They had been a dynamic duo, but they have been a pretty consistent duo, and I think they'll be able to play well against the Giants. Brent Celek against the Giant linebackers, I think he should have double digits in his. I can also see him, because he does get red zone looks. And the Giants are going to be bringing some heat. They're going to try to revive that pass rush that's been missing for the last 2 weeks. So they're going to be definitely trying to get to Michael Vick, because they want to win this game in the worst way. And if the Eagles, whether they go down or not, whether they're down and trailing in points or not, Mike Vick and that offense is going to be throwing the ball. Whether it's short passes to Shady McCoy, or over the middle passes to Brent Celek, or I don't know if he's going to get enough time for this, shots down the field to Jeremy Maclin or Jason Avant. Brent Celek is going to be heavily involved in the, and I believe he's going to be heavily involved in the offense that Mike Vick is going to be the quarterback for. So, in my opinion, I would play Mike Vick, because I think he's going to play hard. I don't know how effective he's going to be, but playing against the Giants, Johnson and Noah are desperate, but I think Mike Vick is out to prove something. So I like Mike Vick over definitely over Matt Ryan. You said you have Russell Wilson too.
Yeah, I mean, well, I would say this because mm-hmm. I'm looking at my opponent's playing Tony Romo, who played mm-hmm. tonight. That is the last player that you know I'm looking at for the championship.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna need some points for my QB position.
Oh yeah.
30 points isn't gonna do it. I need somewhere between 50 and 60 points between for my QB. And
that's a lot.
Both. I know. I mean, but Michael Vick can run, and
mm-hmm.
if he has limited options out there, he's gonna have no choice but to take off with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, he doesn't get injured. But that's my situation. Russell Wilson, he'll probably hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch quite a bit, so that they can beat down that defense of the Rams. So, you know, it won't be a big game for him. Last week he had a big game and he only got like 42 points. So, you know, I don't know.
Well, more than likely, Tony Romo playing against your I'm not jumping over that game, but Tony Romo playing against your Washington Redskins in Washington, he's going to be throwing a lot because that's the Achilles heel of the Washington defense. Even though that defense has been playing better in recent weeks, they still have problems defending the pass. I think the turnover ratio has jumped up in the recent weeks. So even though they give up a lot of yardage, they're turning the ball over. So that's helping them. Let me move over to the Giants. And if you have Victor Cruz,
you know I do.
Yeah, I know you do, and I'm not just saying it for you. You have Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz, and it's been played out. Victor Cruz needs Hakeem Nicks. If Hakeem Nicks is not in the lineup and effective, that's the same thing for Victor Cruz. He's not effective. That's the caveat that you have. One needs the other. Let me put it that way. Maybe not vice versa. Hakeem Nicks, for the most part, doesn't need Victor Cruz if he's healthy, but Victor Cruz does need Hakeem Nicks to be healthy and effective in order for him to be effective and to be racking up some points. Well, in the last few weeks, Victor Cruz has been shaky. Good luck playing him this week. You're playing Russian roulette with Victor Cruz. Hopefully, Hakeem Nicks. I haven't gotten the injury report yet. See if he's playing or not. Let me just look here. Look at a spot here. See
if he's supposed to play. He's supposed to play.
Hakeem
Nicks.
But
like in my situation, I have Steve Johnson.
I don't like
Steve Johnson. Well, that's what I'm saying, dude. I don't have that much to choose from in the situation, and there's not much of anything on the waiver wire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Let me see who's game day inactive, so whatever it is here. Let me see this here. Come on, computer. Anyway, oh, God. What do you think of
dead air?
It's not dead air. What do you think of Victor Cruz? How do you feel about Victor Cruz?
I think he'll have a rebound game because the 49ers, not the 49ers, the Eagles secondary, they've given up. They've all given up. I think that they don't have the linebackers to do to Victor Cruz what the Ravens did. The Ravens, they put a corner on him, but they had a linebacker chip him before he got off the line of scrimmage, which is
mm-hmm.
very effective. Victor Cruz isn't a big guy.
No, he's not.
And in the slot, that gives the linebacker an opportunity. If they're playing a 3-4, which they're not, but they're playing a 3-4, and they had a linebacker buzz under and hit him, you know, within that 5 yards, that gets rid of Manning's safety net. But since the Eagles don't have that, he should have a pretty decent game going against either Cromartie or Asunawa or whoever their third corner is.
Kyle Wilson?
Yeah, Kyle Wilson. Kyle Wilson's with the Eagles?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I'm thinking the Jets. Who the heck is it? Oh, my God.
Well, that's my point.
Yeah.
That's my point. Because if the Giants go 3-wide with Ramesses Barden, you're going to put Asunawa on him because he's a tall guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you're going to put Dominic Rogers Cromartie on Hakeem Nicks. And then you got Victor Cruz in the slot. Who's going to cover Victor Cruz in the slot? Their third best, you know, corner, which is
mm-hmm.
somebody we can't even, you know, figure out right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a good thing for him because if you buzz him with a linebacker, it's better for the opposite team. So
mm-hmm.
that's just what I think.
See, yeah, I understand people that when you play in Week 17, and I'm saying that some of these studs to knock down and don't play or be very careful on playing, doesn't mean that all your studs on every team that you put on the bench and put in their backup. It's only you have to pay attention to the scenario and who's got more to gain or lose by playing one of your studs. So, like I said, when I talked about the Atlanta Falcons, they have more to lose than to gain by playing their studs for an extended period of time. In the point of the Giants against the Eagles, the Giants are scrambling trying to get into the playoffs, so they're going to be playing everybody. They're going to go as long as they can to try to get a win and then hope for the best to get into the playoffs. So if you're thinking about playing Ahmad Bradshaw, if you didn't listen to me weeks back when I told you to get start getting the backups to these guys, especially I talked to you about Ahmad Bradshaw about getting David Wilson. I think David Wilson is probably going to be having a better day today against the Eagles. I know they're saying that Ahmad Bradshaw is going to be playing, but if he's trying everything he can to play this week, that means he's not, and he hasn't been for a while, totally healthy. That means, in my opinion, his playing time is going to be diminished, and that means David Wilson's time is going to be increased. So you got to be thinking like that. Also, if you're scrambling for a tight end, especially a tight end from a team that's not going to play their stud tight end like a Tony Gonzalez and Martellus Bennett for some reason happens to be sitting there. Besides Brent Celek, Martellus Bennett has been a good target for Eli Manning also. Big guy, good sure hands. Been consistent for the most part all year for Eli Manning, and Eli Manning's going to use him, especially against a defense like the Eagles, that has historically been bad playing against a tight end. So you can go that route. All right. Since I got the Eagles and Giants up sitting up here, I'm going to ask you for your valued opinion on who do you think going to win this game.
Well, honestly, I think the Giants are going to win the game because they have more to play for than the Eagles. But
mm-hmm.
I think that because Vic is also trying to get a job somewhere next year, he's going to show up and be a little he's going to play risky. You know what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give them all that they want and probably then some. Because of the fact he wants a job.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you're going to see the old Michael Vick. And in my opinion, you're going to see the old Michael Vick. Last week, in practice, he was imitating RG3. I think you're going to see that imitation during the game. So
really?
Yeah, I really think so.
Okay.
Will it be enough to defeat the Giants? I don't think so. But I think it's going to give them Fitz and him an opportunity to be a good fantasy play this week.
Well,
I hope anyway.
Well, one of the few times I'm going to give on my show give a prediction of a win or loss, I think the Giants lose this game.
Really?
I really believe they do lose this game. I think they're pretty much spent. From what I saw last week and the week before, they were totally inept on the defense, and the offense looks like that Eli, for the most part, has lost his confidence. Since his wide receivers have been inconsistent late, especially Hakeem Nicks in and out of the lineup, and he misses Hakeem Nicks a lot. I know he throws well to Martellus Bennett, but the Giants, I think, if the Eagles come out and punch him in the face early and give them a reason to doubt themselves, I think they're going to go away easy. I really believe that because I think the psyche of the Giants right now, even though they're still Super Bowl champions twice over, and in the last 4 years, and supposedly they have that magical switch that they can turn on when they're desperate and their back's against the wall. Well, their backs were against the wall. The backs were against the wall the last 2 weeks, and what happened? They laid two eggs, especially last week. So I think the Eagles, being the division rivals, last game of the season. Last game that most of these players know that Andy Reid's going to be there, going to send Andy Reid out with a victory, and I like the Eagles in this game. So there's a lot on both sides to play for, even though the Eagles aren't playing to get into the playoffs. All right, let's move on.
Their jobs, people play
Excuse me?
Their jobs, though.
Yes. Yes.
People, yeah.
All right. Let's move on to the where I want to go now. Do I really want to? Yeah, I'll go here. I'll go here. What the hell? The other New York team playing the other New York team. Two New York teams. Well, it's true. The other New York team playing the other New York team. The Jets playing the Bills in Buffalo. Okay. You know what? There's really no player in here. Maybe. Nah. I know. Some people have Sean Green and been riding Sean Green in and out of the lineup on the plate, probably based on the matchup or one of their running backs have been knocked down. You probably can play Sean Green if you're missing one of your stud running backs and you need a replacement. Buffalo is one of the worst teams to play that play against the run, especially in fantasy. So if you're desperate for a running back and you have Sean Green, and it's the last week and you have no other solid options, Sean Green is an option, but be careful, because I've said this over the last several weeks, that Bilal Powell is the goal line back, and don't be surprised if you see either a bigger timeshare or Bilal Powell overtaking Sean Green next year. I truly believe that. They're probably going to bring in one or two more running backs to compete for the job, but with more and more touches for Bilal Powell, I think he has a little bit more explosion and can do a little bit more, especially catching the ball out of the backfield, than Sean Green can, who has basically hands of brick. On the other side, two guys. One, you definitely play. One is, in my opinion, a desperation play, and somebody you want to play in maybe in the flex or the wide receiver three position is Stevie Johnson. He's not a real strong play for me in here. The strongest play probably out of one player out of both these teams is C.J. Spiller. Jets run defense is not what it used to be. C.J. Spiller catching the ball and running the ball should have at least 100, close to 150 yards in this game. So he's a definite strong play, extremely strong play for me in this game, in this matchup. And if it makes a difference or not, who you like in this game, Vic?
Well, I'll tell you what. I was listening to you, but I was also looking at the NFL Network, and this Prize is going to start today.
Yes.
So
I know that.
Well, I was thinking about something there, but I better temper my expectations here.
What? Before you answer that question, you go ahead and play Terrell Pryor as your quarterback and watch your championship go bye-bye.
Well, if I can put him in the wide receiver slot, you know, I'll do that. But
he's listed as a wide receiver?
No, I hope he is, though.
I don't think he is. Oh, boy. See that?
Anyway.
There's that second thought and that panic. People,
shut up.
Don't overthink. I should have said this earlier. Do not overthink, and I'm not talking to you, Vic. I'm talking to the people, but I'm talking to you also. Do not overthink your matchup. Put the guys in there. You may have to tweak it one thing or another, but don't overthink just because this newfound toy supposedly is going to get a start that he's going to be all world for the last game of the season because for the few times he's played, he's not all that, and he's playing against who's he playing against?
Chargers.
The Chargers. So depending on how the Chargers feel, depends on how I don't think he's going to play that well. He doesn't have that many reps. So,
well,
good
I was
luck.
Thinking about that. Look,
go ahead.
That
I want you. I want you. I'm telling you. Put him in there. Put him in there. Take Michael Vick out. Don't think about Russell Wilson. And go ahead and put Terrell Pryor in there as your quarterback.
Sign him. Before I bring up your love affair with the Jets.
Excuse me?
Before I bring up your love affair with the Jets.
Oof.
Exactly. Oof. Since we're talking about the Jets and the Bills, C.J. Spiller might go over 200 in this game.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the Jets, if they go back to Mark Sanchez, who we love.
Yeah, right. Oh.
And, you know, I think it's going to be one of those games that it's probably going to be blacked out because nobody's going to want to see it. I don't know. I think they sold all the tickets in Buffalo. But I don't have a dog in this race, unless I put Stevie Johnson in for Pierre Garçon or Victor Cruz. I really don't care.
Okay.
But right now, if you want me to pick a winner, I'll pick Buffalo.
Okay. I don't blame you. I would probably pick Buffalo in this game too. Anyway, let's move on to the Baltimore Ravens with the Cincinnati Bengals. And like I said earlier, the Ravens don't have anything to play for, and the Bengals are set in their position in the wild card.
It's a division game.
And it's a game that these two teams – it's not as intense as it is the Ravens and the Steelers, but it's still intense because it's a division game. This is a hard game for me to gauge. I know both these coaches, their mindset is to play their players, but I have a funny feeling that Ray Rice and either A.J. Green or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis are not going to be in the game that long for fear of getting hurt. So, you know what? You got A.J. Green. I would have to roll with him. I know they don't have anything to play for. It's just more of a pride thing in the division. But I would, you know, even though I said don't play Julio Jones and those guys, I think there's a different mindset with these two coaches versus the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And I think these guys are going to be playing for the most part. I see one guy that may not be playing that long, and that may be Ray Rice. I think Ray Rice is more important to the Ravens and won't be playing as long. But I don't like Torrey Smith in this game. I like Jermaine Gresham and I like A.J. Green. And that's about it. These other guys are too inconsistent. And Joe Flacco on the road is liquid dynamite, in my opinion, that you just don't play Joe Flacco on the road unless he proves until he proves differently, especially against the Bengals. He doesn't play well against the Bengals on the road. So talk to me, Vic.
I'll say that this game is a really important game because right now the Bengals have an opportunity to be 10-6.
Okay.
They might not win the division, but that means they'll tie Baltimore with a 10-6 record for the division.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a mental thing for them. Going into the game or going into next week, they could quite possibly see the Ravens again in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
if things fall correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I think Marvin Lewis wants them to have the mental edge over them. So if the Ravens going to play all their studs, then fine. You know, that's the only reason why I didn't pick up Dennis Pita, because I was afraid that Dennis Pita was going to not play that much.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, he would have been my first pick, hands down,
mm-hmm.
to put on my roster. But I think it's going to be a good game. I think Baltimore's going to they're going to play somewhat vanilla. They're going to play somewhat vanilla, and you know, and the Bengals will come out and win. Now, here's a fact that I thought was kind of cool. Next week, the Ravens might play the Colts.
Okay.
Jim Caldwell will play. He'll coach the quarterback of the Ravens, Joe Flacco,
mm-hmm.
against
mm-hmm.
the team that just fired him last year.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be a great matchup to see. I just thought I'd bring that up there. But I've got the Bengals winning this game.
Okay. And let me see what I got here. Okay. Let's move on against this one that should be, in my opinion, a shootout. I think this is definitely going to be a shootout. The Bears have something to play for, and they're visiting Detroit, which is an ideal conditions because they're playing inside the dome. And Detroit's the number one team on throwing the ball. They throw the ball more than any NFL team. So, and Calvin Johnson is definitely going to be going for the record. He needs 108 yards, if I'm not mistaken, for 2,000 yards. So,
yep.
I think he's going to definitely get that against
Peanut
the
Tillman. I don't know, dude. Tillman held him to like his lowest receiving total all year. Like, I think he had 36 yards last time they played. So
let me tell you something. They're going to be throwing often. I should say a lot often. They're going to be throwing a lot and often to Calvin Johnson. They do it every week. Last time they played in Chicago on grass. This is on the turf. Home, last game of the season, they're going to go balls to the wall and get Calvin Johnson his record, 2,000 yards, without a shadow of a doubt. They're going to be throwing a lot. Let me put it that way. They're going to be throwing a lot and a lot to Calvin Johnson, and he spreads the ball around other than Johnson to Pettigrew and Scheffler, so you don't know exactly who's going to get the brunt of that. So you're playing Russian roulette with that. On the other side, with Matt Forte, he's supposed to be playing. I like Matt Forte in this game. I think he's going to get about 80 yards and a touchdown, at least. Jake Cutler is probably not going to have that too well a game or too good a game because of the pass rush and the pass protection of the Bears and the pass rush of the Lions. 230, 250 yards, somewhere around there, maybe a touchdown pass, and he's always good for a one pick at least. Brandon Marshall, he's a stud here. You don't have to worry about not playing him. You put him in there and just go to sleep at night and sleep very well if Brandon Marshall's one of your wide receivers. He's almost guaranteed, just like Calvin Johnson, to get about 100 yards because the volume of passes that are thrown to him because they basically don't have anybody else. Alshon Jeffrey's too inconsistent along with Errol Bennett. Who do you like? And Matthew Stafford, you should definitely play Matthew Stafford if you have him. Don't even think about anyone else that you have unless you have someone like Tom Brady or Drew Brees. That's a different story. But if your best option is Matthew Stafford, play him.
Here's my thoughts on this. Both coaches are playing for, Forrest just signed an extension, so he's not going nowhere. But Levy's playing for his job and for a playoff spot. Detroit has lost, like, I think the last four or five games,
mm-hmm.
if I'm not mistaken. They don't want to lose at home. But Matt Forte is hurt, and his backup is a relative unknown. But the fact is, he wants to play because he wants to win and be in the playoffs. The Bears in the playoffs is actually kind of deadly for some teams. If they get the run game going and they get Urlacher back,
you really think Urlacher makes that much of a difference?
Yes. I really do because of his leadership. I didn't say his play. His play is good. His play is good, but his leadership on the field, it serves a purpose in that Tampa 2 defense. Not saying his replacement hasn't done well, but it's a difference when he's in there. But anyway, I think the Bears are going to win this game because they have to.
Right.
Not because they're a better team, but I think they're going to win because they have to.
Mm-hmm.
If Detroit can find a way to have Peanut get beat and Calvin can get those yards, they have a shot. But other than that, I think the Bears win this game on the turf with even a banged up Matt Forte.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to another game that's it's not relevant. But it's a game that could be relevant in fantasy football. Talking about the dynamic and hell of a team, the Jacksonville Jaguars, against another dynamic and hell of a team, Tennessee Titans. If you can stay awake to watch this game, I would play Chris Johnson. I know he hasn't done that much of late. But I would definitely play him. I would temper my expectations not to think that he's going to get 150 yards and two touchdowns or something like that. But I think he can get you decent double-digit numbers, especially in PPR, especially playing at home. And especially this could be the last game for Mike Munchak, who may be on the way out. I can't see anyone else on this team that would be of consequence that you could play other than Chris Johnson. On the other side, the only one guy that I would possibly play if I needed a wide receiver and playing in the in a championship, and this is high risk, high reward, would be Justin Blackmon. It's kind of an ideal situation because the pass defense of the Tennessee Titans is just as bad as the run defense. So Chad Henne may have an opportunity to get the some decent targets completed to Justin Blackmon and possibly getting at least a visit into the end zone. But otherwise than that, there's really not too much in this game. Talk to me, Vic, who you like.
Well, honestly, I like Chad Henne. Last week he threw for 348 yards versus the Patriots. So, you know, I don't know what he's going to do against the Tennessee Titans secondary. What's that?
That's my son calling me on my iPhone. That's 50
oh.
Cent.
Oh, okay. I was like, what in the world? But, you know, Chad Henne would be a good play
mm-hmm.
for some people. I mean, I don't want to take the risk on him, even though I know he's as you said, high risk, high reward, because Blackman. You know, Blackman, Cecil Short is out, I believe.
Right.
But that gives Blackman more targets against this terrible secondary. Mike Munchak is another guy that's fighting for his job. I think, to be quite honest, where are they playing at? Are they playing in Tennessee?
They're playing in Tennessee.
I'm going to give it to Tennessee. Only because I think that they're going to show out for Munchak. Munchak might still lose his job, but if they're playing in Jacksonville, I'd give it to them. But it's going to be cold. It's going to be a running type of day. And right now, Montel Owens is okay, but he's not the answer for Jacksonville and their ills right now. But I'm going to stick my neck out there and pick Tennessee.
Okay. All right. Let's move over to a game that definitely makes some in both reality and in fantasy. Talking about Houston and at Indianapolis.
They're 0-10 all time.
Yes, I know. But the 0-10 is against Peyton Manning. So that makes a difference.
Year.
Huh?
Not last year. Last year, Peyton Manning didn't play.
That's true. You're right. Oh, you're right. Oh, no, but who played with it? T.J. Yates? I don't think Matt Schaub played because Matt Schaub, I think, was hurt. Anyway, I understand Houston needs this game to get the number one seed and a first-round bye, which is very important. Going against a division rival in their home stadium, meaning in Indianapolis, who they are, just like Vic stated, 0-10. I'm not happy. They didn't do this last week. Now, this is the last week they can do it. And they have to go against Andrew Luck and a hot team with their coach coming back and with added incentive, which is not a good thing. But with that being said, anybody that you have on the Houston Texans, and for the most part, you would have a Matt Schaub, you have an Arian Foster, you have Ben Tate, you have Owen Daniels and Andre Johnson, I would put all three of those guys, all four of those, five of those guys in your lineup. Andre Johnson is going to definitely have a good day against this pass defense of Indianapolis. And I think Owen Daniels is going to play well, maybe not a stud a performance like Gronkowski or Hernandez, but I think he's going to get double digits. Which you at least want from your tight end. I have a little bit more than a minute left in the 2012 Master Plan Show. I want to thank anybody who's not going to be with me in overtime. I'll be back next week to talk about the playoffs and also talk about a little fantasy. Basketball and baseball, more probably basketball next week, and a lot of football. 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time is where I'll be each and every Sunday, regardless if it's football or not. Tune in. I want to thank everyone who's been listening to me for the past year. And for the past few months in fantasy football, hopefully I've gotten you to a championship. With that being said,
you got me there.
Excuse me?
You got me there. Thanks, well, Matt Ryan. You,
huh?
I said, thanks, Matt Ryan.
No problem. That's I told you in the beginning of the season, that's what I wanted to do, get you to a championship, not just Vic, but whoever listened. That I get my satisfaction out of that, even though this year I am not in any fantasy championships and am not I've got knocked out of the playoffs very early. And I also said, I also said that fantasy is skill and some luck. You got to have both in order to get to where you want to be, and that's a championship. And it's an exclusive club, and some get to it and some don't. You keep trying and you'll get there. And we're in overtime. And I'll continue with this game, my team, the Houston Texans, against the Colts. Like I said, Matt Schaub, Foster, and Ben Tate, along with Owens and Andre Johnson, I think they're going to be instrumental in this game. Foster coming back from an irregular heartbeat that he set out. They're probably going to play Ben Tate a little bit more.
He's doubtful. Ben Tate is doubtful.
Oh, is he? Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. Really?
Yes,
what the hell happened there? His ankle? Because he was having problems. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was saying his ankle or knee. It was flashing across the ticker on the network. It says that he was doubtful. He might be upgraded to questionable, but he was doubtful last I saw.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Doesn't tell me what his issue is. Does not tell me what his issue is here. Let me go to another spot. Well, let me put it this way. If he's not available, then don't play him. But if he's available to play, I see him putting you know what? I'll put it this way. If he's questionable and you got to go to a game-time decision, look for Justin Forsett. He's a guy who gets lost in the sauce in there, but he was effective midway through this fantasy season at times. So on the other side, Andrew Luck, I would definitely play him in this game. He's playing at home, which he plays a lot more effectively than he does on the road. I see him throwing for in this game. Which I think he's going to be throwing a lot. I think he's going to be. I would say he's going to probably throw for between 250 and 275. I wouldn't be surprised if he throws for 300 yards in this game. For the simple fact is the Houstons have been of late gouged in the pass game. So Vic Ballard, I talked about him a long time ago, like mid season. If not earlier, no, I think I talked about him in the beginning of the season. And it panned out, as I said, that Donald Brown was not the answer, and he was too inconsistent and always getting hurt. And Vic Ballard, they have high expectations for him next year, and I consider him, and I hate to say this because Vic's on the line, him to be a sleeper next year. I do believe that with more playing time and another year under his belt, he'll be a lot more effective. Because he does run the ball in it between the tackles and outside, and he also can catch the ball. So he's a versatile back, and they like him a lot.
But they got to run him, Jerry. They got to run him.
Like I said, what I'm saying is this, that he can run in between the tackles, and he can catch the ball in space. So even if he doesn't run the ball a lot, he's going to get touches. Just like when the Colts had Marshall Faulk for the short time they had him with Peyton Manning. They used him in two different ways. They used him in the run game, and they used him in the pass game. And I think this kid can do that. I'm not saying he's a Marshall Faulk, but I think he can be effective doing that both ways, catching the ball and running the ball. So I think it's all a matter of reps for this kid. I liked him early, and I still think it's just a matter of reps. In order for him to be more effective. Quite naturally, you're going to play Reggie Wayne in this game. These two other receivers, Avery and Hilton, are too inconsistent. they're not the type of players that you want to play in the fantasy championship and have high expectations for. Who do you like in this game, Vic? This is a very interesting game.
I like the not the Colts. I like the Texans, but I'm gonna tell you why. Because I think Chuck Pagano is a very, very inspirational coach. Unfortunately, he's gonna come back to his first game with a loss, and then his second game is gonna be a loss because he's gonna play Peyton Manning in Mile High.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he coached the first two or three games of the season before he got leukemia tested and the surgery and stuff, and he didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's gonna be 0-1 whatever after today's game and then Saturday's game. It's unfortunate because he's a good coach, but I think Bruce Arians did a heck of a job there. And they brought up a point. Who are the players going to think about or listen to more, Bruce Arians or Chuck? Chuck should let Bruce and the other defensive player, defensive coaches say what they're going to say and do what they're going to do and let it be. But I think
mm-hmm.
the Texans are just going to be like, you know what? No, we got to win. We got to win. So that's what that is. And
mm-hmm.
I see the first game of the Redskins and Cowboys rivalry. The Redskins won 26-10. Hopefully that'll repeat today. But go ahead.
Okay. We're moving on to another game that has some real relevance, and that's the Green Bay Packers at the Minnesota Vikings. Packers can change their position in the playoffs by a winning. They can clinch a first round bye if they win. And this is a division rival. And they have an extra incentive to stop Adrian Peterson from getting his 208 yards to break the record. Even though the last time they played each other in Green Bay, he ran for 212 yards. So this is going to be it's not going to be a shootout. Aaron Rodgers is going to get his. I do believe he's going to get over 300 yards in this game. You know, Randall Cobb is a game-time decision. Jordy Nelson is coming back. Greg Jennings is feeling a little bit better about himself since last week when he was more involved in the offense. Look for Greg Jennings to have a bigger role in this game along with James Jones. Jordy Nelson is feeling his way in. I'm not looking for big things from Jordy Nelson. Like I said, Randall Cobb is a game-time decision. If you want to wait until the last minute to see if he's going to play, game-time decisions in a fantasy football championship equate to a no play for me. That's too much of a chance with a guy that's coming back from an injury with a possibility of him re-injuring himself sometime during the game. And then you're stuck with whatever he accomplished. And if it's early in the game, you're stuck with the dreaded donut, zero, which you don't want in a championship. So look for alternative ways. If you have Randall Cobb and hopefully you have a viable backup to put in place of Randall Cobb. You can't equal him, but at least you have something that'll get you some points. And that's what you need. You need points, and hopefully you come out on top, not by one or two or three or a point and a half, and hopefully your commissioner doesn't make any mistakes and starts fooling with the settings and all. But that's for another story.
Dude, why you go there? Why you go there?
Okay,
you know what?
I'm just kidding, Nick. Come on, stop. Anyway. Adrian Peterson, you got to play him because he's going for the title, which Eric Dickerson doesn't want him to get. And if Eric Dickerson could play defense, he would with the Green Bay Packers to try to prevent Adrian Peterson from getting his 208 yards and breaking his record. But AP, you're not getting the record. I hate to tell you, I think the most you're going to get is about 150 yards, which is really a stellar performance anyway, as it is. But 208 yards, I don't think so. Kyle Rudolph is probably the other safest play here, since Jeremy Maclin's not going to be there, and Kyle Rudolph has been a consistent, for the most part, option for Christian Ponder, who his average per pass is less than Adrian Peterson's average per carry. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
His average pass completion is less. Adrian Peterson's average per carry.
I think Adrian's like 6.7 or something like that.
Yes, yes, something like that. And he's less than that, which is absolutely, that's unbelievable. A quarterback's pass completion average is less than his running back's per carry. That's pitiful, absolutely pitiful.
Well, we don't have anybody to throw the ball to, man. That's what happens.
Well, even when he had Percy Harvin, he was piss poor. Even when he had Percy Harvin in the lineup, he had Kyle Rudolph, which was a consistent option. He still was that bad. And some projections have him getting over 200 yards. His average, I think, is like 170, 180 yards per game, which is absolutely horrible. Horrible for a quarterback. So those are the two options I like in Minnesota, and the options I like quite naturally. If you have Aaron Rodgers, you're going to play him. There's no two ways about that. Greg Jennings, James Jones, who leads the team in touchdown passes, and Jordy Nelson is a wide receiver three, but don't expect too much from Jordy Nelson. He's coming back and from an injury that he's had for a few weeks, and so they're just trying to get him in tune for the playoffs. So don't expect too much from Jordy Nelson. Who you like in that game?
I don't know, dude.
Really?
Yeah, tell me again. I don't know.
Minnesota is home against Green Bay.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Really?
I told you like yesterday. I mean, like I broke it down yesterday. If Green Bay comes out and scores first, it's going to be tough for AG to get the record.
Mm-hmm.
Which also means that it's going to be tough for Minnesota to, you know, dominate the game. They did a heck of a job last week versus your Texans.
I don't know what the hell happened there.
They just came out and they were hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that they can't stay competitive with Green Bay in the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends. If they can get the running game going and they can go ahead and make sure that AV gets his touches, then Minnesota can win. If they don't, it's going to be a massacre because he can't throw the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I honestly don't know. They're playing in Minnesota, so there's an opportunity for AP to really do well. But, dude, I don't know. I honestly don't know. But since I got to make a pick, and I want Minnesota in the playoffs, so that the Skins will still end up playing Seattle regardless.
Mm-hmm.
But I want Minnesota in the playoffs, so either Minnesota or Chicago. So I'm going to pick Minnesota to win the game. They have to win, so Minnesota to win. In an upset.
Not. Anyway. You got to think that Green Bay wants the first round bye, so they want the number two seed. So I got to believe Green Bay is going to win and be able to sit home for at least 1 week and heal themselves that much more, prepare themselves that much more for the second round, and be able to play at home. So let's move on to another division rival, which is division rival week, last week of the season. Miami Dolphins at the New England Patriots. One player I like in here, two players I like for the one more than the other on the Dolphins. I like Brian Hartline more, believe it or not, than Reggie Brian Hartline more than Reggie Bush. for the simple reason, I think Hartline, with that pass defense of New England, and they're going to be throwing the ball, especially in PPR, I think he's going to, I don't know about getting into the end zone, but he's going to get a lot of targets to him. And targets equal opportunities. I've always said that. I think he's a wide receiver three with a possibility of being a two, not a one, but a possibility of being a wide receiver two. Definitely a high three, wide receiver three. I think I'm getting about five or six catches between 70, 75, 80 yards, somewhere around there. And it would be a bonus if he gets into the end zone. Reggie Bush, I know he's been running well, but New England run defense is better than their pass defense. Don't know if he's going to be able to crack the 80-yard mark in running. 60 yards, yes. 80 yards, I don't think so. That's the reason why I like Hartline first over Bush. On the other side, New England has something to play for, possibility of them getting a first-round bye. Let me see if I'm right about that. Let me look at this for a minute. New England can clinch a first-round bye with a New England win and a Denver loss. New England win and a Houston loss. And they can clinch home field if they win and both Houston and Denver loses. So, and quite naturally, Belichick always plays his players. That's his philosophy. Regardless of they get hurt or not, he's always played his players. So Tom Brady's going to be in there for the most part of this game. I think that's the one player that he probably won't play the whole game if he has it in wraps or another scenario that he can't possibly get home field advantage or clinch a bye. So he'll start pulling his players out. So they maybe doing a little scoreboard watching. But for the most part, he plays his players. So Wes Walker is a play for me. And Aaron Hernandez is another play for me. Steven Ridley is a risk because the fact is, even though they haven't played as well as they were playing earlier in the season, Miami still has a pretty good run defense. So don't count on Steven Ridley to get over 100 yards. He may get a cheap touchdown between the five inside the five-yard line, but you can't count on that. If you don't have another viable option, then you keep Steven Ridley in there and hope for the best. Talk to me, Vic.
Well, I'll say this, young man. Miami has always played New England tough.
Yes.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
And is this in New England or is it in Miami? It makes a difference to me if it's in New England or Miami. Which one is it?
It's in New England.
Big difference.
Yes. Big difference, huge difference.
Patriots all the way. It's snowing. It's cold. Reggie Bush is a talented running back, but that Miami team is not built for inclement weather.
what are you saying? They soft?
Lost. Well, they lost Mr. Long, the left tackle. I believe the left tackle is gone for the season.
Right.
Tannehill hasn't been that good. He's a little banged up. They haven't decided what they want to do with Reggie Bush, even though Thomas is out. You know, it's too many inconsistencies on the Miami Dolphins side. Patriots playing at home with a chance to be the number one team in the AFC. It's a no-brainer. I'm going to pick the Patriots. But I want to give a side note. The AFC has so many dramas and tie-ins to their storyline this year because every team in the playoffs, they are intertwined some way with either players or coaches. So I just want to point that out as well.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, 29 degrees and partly cloudy. It's supposed to be in New England.
Yeah, that's a Patriot game.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to a game that I think is of no consequence in the playoff or seeding-wise, but it's a division rival, and I think there's going to be a lot of lights turned on in this one. Meaning it's this is going to be a shootout. Let me put it that way. For the most part, we're talking about the Carolina Panthers visiting the New Orleans Saints. I think Cam Newton and Drew Brees are both going to throw. Definitely Drew Brees. His standard is 300 yards and a couple touchdowns for the most part. Cam Newton, I think, is going to be trying to do the same thing here. I wouldn't say he's going to throw for 300 yards, but it wouldn't surprise me in this game. You have Cam Newton, and that's your only quarterback. Quite naturally, you roll with him. If you have Cam Newton and Cam, if you have a choice between Cam Newton and Russell Wilson, my choice would be. Quite naturally, I know Russell Wilson has been playing lights out for the most part, but my choice would be Cam Newton in this game, especially against the absolutely horrible pass defense of the New Orleans Saints. So you play Cam Newton, you play Steve Smith. like I said, it's going to be a shootout. But one thing that New Orleans plays well, I said this yesterday, and I'll say it again today. They do play the tight end position well. So if you have a option other than Greg Olsen, I would play him because your risk on playing Greg Olsen against this defense. Even though it's very bad pass defense, the tight end position is the one they play well. Like I said, go in a different direction. The New Orleans Saints, quite naturally, you're going to play Drew Brees. It's a toss up on playing Darren Sproles. I think he's a RB3, definitely a flex position you can put him in. Because he does most of his damage in the passing game. So if it's a PPR league, he's a good play for you. An RBC2, a low RBC2, and a high RB3, or, like I said, a flex position, because he's going to be running the ball a little bit, and he's going to be catching the ball a lot. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Pierre Thomas is out. I think one of these running backs is not playing, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Who?
Who's not playing?
I thought it was Pierre Thomas. I thought I saw
Pierre Thomas. Pierre Thomas is out.
Is out. Yes, that's right. Okay.
And
so
Ivory's questionable with a hamstring. So.
So it's for the most part it's Darren Sproles and Mark Ingram's show. So
yeah.
Mark Ingram's going to be running in between the tackles. Darren Sproles is going to be taking the ball outside the tackles and catching the ball in space. So if that's the case, then I would say he's probably a RB2. Yes, or he can probably use him in a flex position also because he's going to be getting a lot of touches and Drew Brees likes tossing the ball to him to bail him out. Jimmy Graham is definitely a play here, along with Marcus Colston, and also with Lance Moore. All three of these guys are going to get the ball. All three of these guys should have double digits, much as the Saints throw the ball. So it's a toss-up for the most part. Who gets the touchdowns? It's haphazard from week to week, but you just have to rely on the volume of passes being thrown and who they get thrown to. Jimmy Graham, Marcus Colston, or Lance Moore. If I had my druthers, I'd probably go with Marcus Colston. to definitely get a touchdown in here. Jimmy Graham would be my second choice, and Lance Moore would be my third choice. Vic, who you like in this game?
Who that nation? I like the Saints, man. I heard you say something about Greg Olsen earlier, and you know, I'd rather have him in, but I'm putting Brent Celek in because I like the quarterback tie-in that I got there.
Mm-hmm.
But over the past seven games, Olsen has done pretty well. He's had four touchdowns. He's picking up the slack for Brandon LaFell.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only thing is, New Orleans covers the tight end pretty well.
Yep.
They don't do much well, but they cover the tight end pretty well.
Yep.
So I'm worried there. But Cam Newton, didn't they beat him last time?
They beat him at home, if I'm not mistaken.
New Orleans lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think Drew Brees and you'll be surprised. You're going to get a big dose of Mark Ingram. You're going to get a big dose of Mark Ingram in this game, and I think New Orleans wins.
Okay. All right, let's move on to a game that it's a division rival. It's in the AFC North between the Cleveland Browns at the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hopefully this team wants to save some type of face from the performance they had last week. The loss that put them out of the playoffs last week, playing against the Bengals, who Andy Dalton had never beaten the Steelers. Can't say that now because they got beat last week. And they're playing a division rival, so to take their frustration out from last week on the Cleveland Browns, who for the most part is probably going to lose their head coach after today. So, I'm trying to look to see who would be a good play here. Trent Richardson, I'm not exactly sure if he's going to play the whole freaking game because they have really nothing to play for, and they don't want to make sure this kid doesn't get hurt for the next season, any catastrophic injury. So I'm not sure if there's anything viable to play on the Cleveland Browns. In my opinion, no. If you wanted to,
I think they're sitting Trent Richardson. I don't think they're going to play him too much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In my plea, no. If you wanted to take a gamble, and this is a huge, huge gamble, play his backup, which is Montario Hardesty, and hope for the best because Pittsburgh can be run on. But that's the and Josh Gordon. I don't think he's going to be too effective in here. These guys don't really have anything to play for except for pride, and I don't know how much of an effort it's going to be put forth with the Cleveland Browns, especially on the road playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, who, if they punch them hard enough early, Cleveland will more than likely just succumb and not play that hard and just play the string out. Mike Wallace is out. He's on IR. So it's Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders. In that order, I like Antonio Brown. Heath Miller, quite naturally, not playing. I like Antonio Brown to have a pretty nice day here. You know what? I have to temper that because I think Joe Hayden is probably going to be on Antonio Brown because of the fact that their main receiver, Mike Wallace, is out there. I have to temper your expectations. I just realized that Antonio Brown is going to have his hands full with Joe Hayden. It may not be as effective as you would expect him to be. So Mendenhall and Dwyer are probably going to share the carries. You know what? I don't like anybody on this. I really don't. More and more I look at this, Antonio Brown is probably the only wide receiver, and he's probably a wide receiver three, not even a wide receiver two anymore, especially going against Hague, who's the main guy, main target that the Browns are looking at. Wide receiver three, maybe a flex, Antonio Brown. The running backs, Cleveland can be run on, but I think they're going to split the carries, so they're going to cancel each other out. And Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been what he used to be earlier in the season after his injury. So I don't like anything here. Maybe Antonio Brown. That's the only player out of both these teams. Talk to me, Vic.
Well, I'll tell you like this. I think Cleveland is the city where they come from, so rhyme, rhyme. Brandon Weeden actually came on and was the quarterback that we thought he would be. But here's the problem. They've already, sources within the organization already said that Pat Shurmur and the GM they're done Monday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell me as a player? I really don't care what happens in this game. I'm getting my paycheck on Monday.
Right.
My head coach is gone. My GM is gone.
Right.
I'm going to play okay, but I'm not going to sacrifice.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So, you know, DeQuil Jackson, hopefully he has a very good game. I'm hoping he does. But other than that, you're right. I mean, Pittsburgh's defense to step up and do well. But this is a game that Cleveland can say, well, you know what, we have a good nucleus of young players on offense. Our defense is pretty good. Let's get ready for next year and whoever's going to be our head coach and our GM. Hurry up and get the 60 minutes over with and let it go. Pittsburgh wins this game. Unfortunately, they don't make the playoffs, but Big Ben, those three games Big Ben missed cost the Steelers. It cost them big time. So that's where we are.
Well, okay. Vic, I'm going to forward something to you that you may want to read.
Is this, what does it pertain to?
What's been going on for the last week? He sent another one this morning, and I just happened to look at my I sent it through Yahoo, to your Yahoo email, so you should be getting it shortly.
And what is it for? I mean,
Looking at it on my iPhone. I'm looking at my iPhone, and I'm on the air. Just let me put it this way. You know the tone of the other emails that he sent?
Yeah.
Well, it's along the same lines, so.
Well, I'm not going to bother with it. I'm not.
Well, you should, because you should read all the emails. Let me just say what it says here.
Go ahead, because I can't get to anything unless I go to work.
Well, I sent it to your Yahoo, right?
Yeah. I can check that one, but I mean, it was like 20 freaking emails that I was going through at work, and I stopped going through them.
Well, I just sent it to you, so you should have it in Yahoo right now. It looks like he's not coming back. Let me put it that way.
That's fine. I'm not gonna sweat it. I'm not gonna keep arguing over it.
Okay.
I laid it all out.
I just wanted to let you know. You're gonna walk in on Monday or whatever day you can walk in to work and see another email. I sent the last email he sent at 10 o'clock, which is when I started the show. So. You can take a look at it. You can read it, and it is what it is. Anyway, let's go on to I'm going to say this to last. Let's go on to the Raiders versus the Chargers.
Bye-bye North Turner Bowl.
Yes, bye-bye North Turner Bowl, exactly. Last game happens to be, it's apropos, it's playing in San Diego. Terrell Pryor is supposed to be getting the start because of the injury to Carson Palmer. Few people have been anxious to see Terrell Pryor because of the wave of the future is to have these mobile quarterbacks, or quarterbacks that can throw the ball and run the ball. Well, temper your expectations, because Terrell Pryor is no Russell Wilson, is no Cam Newton, is no RG3. Trust me when I say this. He's very inaccurate, and he's not the brightest, in my opinion, of quarterbacks. So temper the expectations, Raider fans, or fans of the mobile quarterback, because Terrell Pryor has a lot to prove, and he's no Colin Kaepernick either. So he's got a lot to prove playing the quarterback position, and he can run the ball. That's one of the things he does. He can run the ball because he's a very good runner. But to be sitting in the pocket like the other quarterbacks I mentioned and throw the ball down the field and be accurate with it, that's not something he can do consistently. So with that being said, they're going to run the ball a lot. Darren McFadden is going to get the lion's share of that against the San Diego Chargers, a division rival and a heated division rival from the same state. One north, one south. They'll be playing each other hard for a little bit. I wouldn't say they're going to probably play each other hard for long. Only one guy other than Darren McFadden on the Oakland Raiders I would play, but I wouldn't expect a lot from because of the quarterback situation. But being a young quarterback, I've always said this, and I always keep saying this because it always holds true. The best friend of a young quarterback is a tight end. And this tight end, I talked about this guy quite a few weeks ago, and he's been extremely consistent week in and week out. 4 or 5 catches, 50 to 55 yards, and for the most part he's been getting into the end zone also. So I'm talking about Brandon Myers. Look for this guy to make another step forward next year. I think he's going to be even better next year and more effective in the whole offense next year. On the other side, Philip Rivers, where have you gone? Where have you gone, Philip? The real Philip Rivers? Please stand up. Please stand up. I don't know if it's because of the relationship. Excuse me. You've deteriorated with North Turner, or you just for the last 2 years your quarterback play has steadily gone downhill. I think for the most part they're going to be running the ball and giving it to Jackie Battle. Yes, I said Jackie Battle, not the bust I've talked about more than once of Ryan Matthews. Ryan Matthews, again, is out with an injury, and Jackie Battle is going to be taking over the duties of running the football and possibly catching the ball out of the backfield. He's not a dynamic back. He's in between the tackles type of back. So one other guy that I can look forward to here, two guys. Antonio Gates, where have you gone? Same way as Philip Rivers. You completely fell off the map. He's not reliable. He's a name only, in my opinion, Antonio Gates. The guy to really look forward to, and I think they're trying to sign him to another contract, is Denario Alexander. I think he's a free agent. So I think he's going to probably go to the highest bidder. And he's definitely made a name for himself this year. So Denario Alexander is Philip Rivers' favorite target, especially with Malcolm Floyd being out and Vincent Brown nowhere to be found, never made it back. So Denario Alexander is a play that you can put in the lineup and be happy with and be safe with, because I think he's going to get double digits and possibly get a visit into the end zone, maybe two against this defense that's probably given up and ready to go home. I'm talking about Oakland. Talk to me, Vic.
I was reading the email, and mm-hmm. I forgot the game we were talking about. I'm going to be honest.
No, that's all right. Mm-hmm. Oakland and San Diego. I figured you were doing
that. Oh, yeah. The Raiders are going to go in there and try to be an experimental team. Allen, he'll have one more chance next year to prove that he can do something with Terrell Pryor. Because Carson's either going to be gone or they're going to be in a competition if he's going to be first or last.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll end up saving Carson for like a fourth-round pick or whatever. This is North Turner's farewell game. North Turner
mm-hmm.
is done. Regardless of the outcome, he and A.J. Smith are done. I think Ryan Matthews is probably done as well. So you're going to totally redo that team. Will they go out a winner in San Diego? I'm going to surprise you and say no. I think Oakland wins this game.
Wow. Okay.
I really do.
Okay. All right, we're going to another team in the Bay Area that you're familiar with. You haven't gone to the stadium yet. I'm looking forward to you with some pictures from the stadium. Arizona at the San Francisco 49ers, who got thoroughly trounced by their division rivals, Seattle Seahawks, last week, 42-13. They're playing the Arizona Cardinals at home, who also have a quarterback problem, also have a head coaching problem. Visiting the pissed off 49ers, who can, let me see what the playoff scenario with the 49ers is. Did I go over that? 49ers can clinch the NFC West with a win or a tie, and a Seattle loss or a tie, and they can clinch a first round bye with a win plus a Green Bay loss or a tie, or a San Francisco ties and Green Bay loses. So bottom line is that Arizona is coming into a buzzsaw in San Francisco. Colin Kaepernick should have a pretty good day, along with Frank Gore running the football. Vernon Davis is iffy. More than likely he won't play because of the concussion he sustained last week. Really doesn't make a difference because the favorite target for Colin Kaepernick happens to be Michael Crabtree, who's made a resurgence, maybe not at the same magnitude as Dez Bryant, but the same type of scenario, big-name wide receiver with high expectations, for the most part been a disappointment and is making a late season resurgence, and that's what I'm talking about, Dez Bryant and also Michael Crabtree. He's doing about 5 or 6 catches, about 70, 80 yards, and I think he's going to be visiting the end zone against the Arizona Cardinals, who have a horrible offense. Quarterback, the running backs are in disarray for the most part. The only solid player they have, and he's been sporadic because of the quarterback play, is Larry Fitzgerald. And this is a tough play for me. I like Larry Fitzgerald, but I don't think he's going to do too much in this game. I think Arizona, for the most part, is going to be completely shut down. San Francisco got totally humiliated last week, and I think they're going to take it out on the Arizona Cardinals big time, and I think they're going to get completely shut down. For that, talk to me, Vic.
What?
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, did you hear what I said?
Yeah, you wanted me to break down the game.
Yes.
I mean, what is it, a breakdown? San Fran kills them.
Okay. No problem.
I'm just going to be honest. San Fran kills them, dude. There's nothing for Arizona. If Arizona wins this game or makes it a competitive game, I will be surprised. That's
mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's...
But I got one thing for you. Since we're talking about San Fran, in another championship game on them, I got to face Kaepernick. And I'm going to read you the lineups that we got going on. This guy had Trent Richardson, but he benched him because Cleveland looks like they're not going to play him. So if you give me one sec, I'll tell you.
Sure.
You ready?
Go ahead.
You ready? All right. I'm going to read the teams, and then you tell me which team wins. Kaepernick, LeSure, Marino, Marshall, James Jones, Owen Daniels, Andre Brown, 49ers defense, Bill Walsh. The other team, Drew Brees, Doug Martin, Shady McCoy, A.J. Green, V. Jackson, Jason Witten, Matt Forte, Texas defense, Lawrence Times.
That last team should win easy.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Championship number 2, working on number 3. I appreciate that.
Is that your team, the last team?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. That should be close. In my opinion, that sounds like it's not going to be close. I don't know if that's the ESPN league or if you it gives you a projection on what the score differential is, but I would say it's probably 15 to 20 point difference.
It's actually a 7 point difference. I'm supposed to get 120. Yeah, I'm supposed to get 123. He's supposed to get 116.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't.
This is standard scoring league.
Standard scoring. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. That should mean be close to me. In my opinion, that should be close. I don't think LeSure is going to do that much. Give me the Colin Kaepernick. You got LeSure. You got who else?
No Sean Marino.
No, he may not play that much.
Yeah. You got Brandon Marshall, James Jones, Bowen Daniels, Antonio Brown, 49ers defense, and Bill Walsh.
Well, I talked to you about Antonio Brown. That's going to be Joe Hayden on him. LeSure and Marino, neither one of those guys is probably going to do anything. LeSure may have his chance to do something. I don't think No. Sean Marino is going to be doing that much. As injury prone as he is, I don't think they're going to play him that much.
Ooh, Anquan Boldin and Haloti Ngata are inactive. Wow, that's interesting.
Well, that's telling me that they're inactive because they don't, one thing that they're a little nicked up and they don't want to.
So is Bernard Pollard, Terrell Suggs. Oh, sucky.
They're conceding that game. They're conceding the game.
I told you the Bengals are going to win that game.
They're conceding the game. That's telling me that Ray Rice is not going to play that much.
Yep.
That's telling me Ray Rice is not going to play that much. And that means Bernard Pierce is going to be playing?
Yeah. Yeah. And he did really well last week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Terrence Newman's not playing. Jason Allen's not playing. The starting secondary for the Bengals aren't playing.
Really?
But here's all you in, like Terrell Suggs, Anquan Boldin, Haloti Ngata, Marshall Yarrow, Bernard Pollard. It's like the whole Baltimore Ravens defense is sitting on the bench. Wow. I need to go to a betting site so I can put some money on that.
Listen to you. You're funny. You are a funny
I'm
guy.
I'm serious. But I am so serious, dude.
Reports are I went to a site. Reports are that Ray Rice will play sparingly today. He's healthy, but the team will rest him for the playoffs. Rookie Bernard Pierce will get almost a full game to show his talents today. Okay,
mm-hmm.
look for the same treatment for players like Joe Flacco and Torrey Smith.
Yep. That's why I didn't want to start Dennis Peter.
Yep.
I don't
Trent Richardson is out.
Yep.
Montario Hardesty, like I said, Montario Hardesty will fill in and play.
Yeah.
So.
It is what it is, homie.
Let me see.
You got left before overtime's over?
Oh, I got 10 minutes? Wow. That's all? Okay.
Yeah.
Damn, time flies when you have fun. I knew I should have made it a little bit longer this week, but anyway, it is. Let's go to St. Louis and Seattle.
They're playing in Seattle. I'm picking the Seahawks.
Okay. And the play here is Marshawn Lynch. Plain and simple. Marshawn Lynch. If you have Russell Wilson and Mike Vick and Matt Ryan, the pick is Mike Vick.
I know that. Shut up.
On the other side, the only other guy I would, and Steven Jackson, this is his last game probably playing for the St. Louis Rams.
He might retire. He said he might retire if he
I don't believe that. But it's possible. You never know. High risk, high reward would be Danny Amendola, but I wouldn't count on him for too much against those two corners from Seattle. I know who you like. Let's go to Chiefs at the Broncos. Broncos are trying to get the first round bye. It's a late game. It's a 4 o'clock game. Let me see if I have any news here before. Where is that? Nothing yet. Quite naturally, you know what? Peyton Manning's going to play this game. And he's probably played a whole freaking game because that's just the way Peyton Manning is. Even if he doesn't, I think he's going to give you enough points for the amount of time he plays because the fact is the only way he's coming out of his game if the score is so run up and he's throwing for enough touchdowns to put the Broncos up that he can come out the game and have the backup come in. With that being said, Knowshon Moreno and Hillman, I think they're going to be splitting carries. I don't think Knowshon's going to be running the whole game because they have a playoff position for the most part pretty sewed up. If they're up and comfortably up in this game against Kansas City, who more than likely will be giving up early in this game because Romeo Crennel is out as a head coach reportedly, then Knowshon Moreno is going to be coming out. Ronnie Hillman is going to be running the ball. Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker, I would definitely play these guys. If you have one or the other, put them in your lineup. And the only other play I have is my boy, my favorite guy, the guy I introduced a lot of people to, Jamaal Charles. Talk to me so we can get the Washington and the Cowboys.
You know who I got. I got Denver in the game. That's it.
Okay. What are you trying, right. you trying to find a betting site, man? I know you are.
Yeah.
I know you are.
All right.
Last but not least, 8 o'clock game, the game I'm specifically going over my sick friend's house who I haven't seen for a while, who happens to be a Dallas Cowboy fan. I promised I'd come over here to watch this game. I am very anxious to see this game. 8 o'clock game to end the regular season and the fantasy football season. You couldn't ask for a better game. This is going to be a shootout. I truly believe that. I truly believe both these quarterbacks and these offenses are going to try, just like they did last time. This game, I think it's going to be total points over 60 in this game. I do believe that. And Tony Romo, I think, is going to throw for between 300 and 400 yards. DeMarco Murray, I think, is going to be running for about 80 yards and probably get into the end zone. Jason Witten, Dez Bryant, Miles Austin are going to be very active boys because this is a piss poor, I hate to say it, one of the worst pass defenses in the league. I'm talking about the Washington Redskins, and they're going to be throwing the ball too. And Tony Romo is going to be slinging it, and those three guys, Austin, Bryant, and Witten, are going to be receiving it. On the other side, RG3, if he's 1 week more healthy than was last week, besides running the ball, he's going to be passing the ball to Pierre Garçon and dropping the ball into the bucket to Santana Moss. I like Pierre Garçon a lot in this here. I think he's going to get 4 or 5 catches, about 70, 75 yards, and a trip in the end zone. But the main man, the man with the plan, is Alfred Morris. He's going to be trying to run the ball. This guy's going to get a bill here. I think he's going to get 100 yards and a nice visit into the end zone. I'm going to give it to Vic. Who do you think is going to win this, Vic, if I don't know already?
It's like you don't know. Hail to the Redskins. Now, here's the funny thing, too, dude.
Yeah.
My opponent, Buckeyes for Life, has Romo going in this game. I have Pierre Garçon.
Mm-hmm.
So we both have one player going into tonight's game.
Mm-hmm.
And both should do well, I hope. I believe Claiborne might be injured or might not play as much, if I'm not mistaken.
Who?
Claiborne for the Cowboys.
Morris Claiborne?
I know he's a little nicked up. I don't know how bad, though.
Okay.
But you know I'm picking my Skins. Win the NFC East. And you know what? I told you guys at the end of the year, I didn't think we were going to do that well. I knew we weren't going to be last in the NFC East, but also didn't think we were going to
win. I said we're going to be 9-7, if I'm not mistaken. 9-7, 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
And look who's right.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Once again. That's all I want to say. We're going to be 9-7 or 10-6, and we're going to win the division.
Okay. Not a shocker. Well, Jets will fire offensive coordinator Tony Sparano. Jaguar will fire GM Gene Smith. Lions may consider axing Jim Schwartz. Ray Rice active will play series or two. Montel Owens inactive after pregame injury.
Whoa, who's running
yep.
that down there now?
Raven Scratch, let me see, Knicks and Bradshaw are both starting for the Giants. Flacco will only play a series or two on Sunday. Let me see what else I have here real quick with a few minutes left. Roddy
Tim
White
a,
is active.
Tim.
Huh?
I said Tim A.
Okay. With that being said, I got only a few minutes or two, and so I wanted to get this out. Vic, I want to wish you a happy new year, and you and your family a happy and safe new year. I want to thank all that listened over the past year to the Master Plan. Hopefully we have bigger and better things.
This is your 1-year anniversary.
Huh?
1 year. 1 year. That's right. You've been doing this for a year. The Master Plan, anyway.
When did it start?
I think it started last football season.
Did it? I thought it started in May. I thought it started in May.
In May? Okay. All right. Well, we'll do something again.
Whatever. Anyway, I want to thank the people for listening to the show. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully you gained some knowledge and hopefully you learned something. I've learned a lot since I first started the show. And I'm looking for bigger and better things with the coming year. With everything that happens, you have some joy and you have some pain. Hopefully I didn't give you as much pain as I gave you joy. And the reason I'm saying those two words is because
pump it up, and
like I started the show, I want to end the show with one of my favorite groups, which was Frankly Beverly and Maze. And I'm going to end the show with.
I bet you're going to rob Dave's joy and pain.
No, I'm going to end the show with Frankly Beverly with a thank you for all the people who listened, and a special thank you to my wife for being my wife. With that being said, Vic, you got something to say? We got about a couple minutes left before we get cut off here.
I appreciate you, Jerry, and all the listeners, especially you, Jerry. You've been by my side, you know, since you joined the show. I appreciate you. And happy New Year to you, brother. And I know you're always there for me. I'll be there for you.
Take care. Have a good one.
Later.